Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of Down to Play. I'm your host, Matthew Dapper Tux Rondina, along with Paul, Next Gen Player Hunter. For this episode, we've got something special. Our thoughts on the upcoming PS5 exclusive from Square Enix, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's part two of the remake trilogy exclusive to the PlayStation. Before we start, as always, we'd just like to give a special thanks to the publisher, Square Enix, for providing advanced copies of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth for review. Moving along, let's dive into the main feature of this podcast. We're not wasting any time today. We're talking about one of the biggest, if not the biggest, game of this year, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We've both sunk dozens and dozens of hours into this very, very special game over the past 2 weeks. I think we've clocked in at least over 40 hours each. So just a caveat as we do deliver our scores for this podcast in progress, just sort of be aware of how much we played, which is a lot. We might sound tired on this podcast, maybe a little bit, because we've both been burning the proverbial midnight oil to finish the game, see as much as we possibly can before we deliver a final verdict to you, our dear, dear audience. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is the second entry in the Final Fantasy VII Remake Project, which retells the story of the genre-defining RPG across three distinct games. Iconic heroes Cloud, Barret, Tifa, Aerith, and Red 13 have escaped from the dystopian city of Midgar and are now in pursuit of Sephiroth, the vengeful swordsman from Cloud's past who he thought to be dead. The game features an expansive open world, an evolved battle system, new quests, and minigames to enjoy, along with tons of fresh new content that expands the world of Final Fantasy VII. All right, Next Gen, so let's dive right into some of your thoughts on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth so far.
Well, like you said, I've put in dozens of hours into this game. I am not finish the story just yet, but I've made significant progress, and this game is just utterly captivating. Every moment that I have free time to play some games, I'm diving into this game. For a lot of reviews, what I try to do is I try to mainline the story and get complete the story, do as many side quests as I can during the review period, and then base my review off that. But this game, I am doing every single little side quest that this game has, and there are a lot of side quests in this game. Holy geez, it is absolutely ginormous. The first thing that I'll just mention that is well known, of course, for anyone who's been following the trailers and all the information on this game, but I just have to call out that this game is obviously the second part in the Final Fantasy VII trilogy, and this game feels so much bigger, so much better. The first game was like, the remake was awesome, definitely one of my favorite games, but this one, in remake, my only real complaint with that game is that it kind of felt a little too linear. You're kind of like just going from area to area in Midgar, and it just like there's a lot of corridors and like small little narrow areas that you're going through. This game is the exact opposite of that. Like, you start out in this massive, huge grassland open area, and it is huge. And
one line gets me too, when like you come through that one last corridor, and I think they even kind of, developer plays with you just a little bit to show that you're thinking more corridors, and it kind of gives you that refresh of what you played back in 2020 with Remake. But then boom, even Aerith says it, she goes, it's so green, like as you step outside, coming out of very tight, fun experience that was, Midgar, darker. But yeah, this is a whole new ball game, and I cannot believe the visual quality just stepping out, just in terms of like the detail, like the floral and the fauna when you first step out into this open world. And
it's like Fallout.
Yeah, it's
it's like coming out of the vault.
Yeah,
right, that moment where you step out of the vault and you're like, it's been all like, dull and gray and corridors and just monotonous. And then you open it up and it's like, oh my God, this world is majestic. It's beautiful.
Yeah, most definitely. Even when it comes down to the graphics, it's the same idea. In terms of the story experience, I guess, talking about where kind of Rebirth and Remake, Rebirth picks up where Remake has left off. Also too, like at the very beginning, I think a lot of people with the demo, they understand this as well too. Like you start to see and kind of, get a sec another side of the story and have Sephiroth joining your party for a little bit in a flashback style sequence, which I absolutely love that. Like the retelling of it. I have also been seeing some side by sides in terms of like where it was back in 97 as to where it is right now, and it's just unbelievable. And like even though I still see it's interesting in my mind's eye the way that I saw it in 97 as opposed to how it is right now. It's like, man, you know what it is based on a lot of the the blanks that your mind filled in, but now with the visual quality, it looks like a Disney Pixar production. It just looks like somewhere with the scale and the scope of this game, I never thought graphics were going to look as good as they do. But in this game, oh my goodness. And whether it's the open world, whether it's the villages and the cities, even one of the first villages that you experience in Calm, wow, just the level of detail. I just, you, at that point, because there's just so much happening, there's so much rich detail and all these different conversations and people going about their daily lives, you think at that point, just like anything could happen. Nothing seems scripted. And it's not like a Pokemon game where all the characters in villages or who you speak to are obsessed with just Pokemon. Like these characters are responding to things that are happening around them. They don't really care about maybe you or your quest, or maybe they do care about you and Avalanche. But they're always talking like a real person in this setting would. They're either like very self-involved or they're talking to you about what happened, and it's just absolutely unbelievable.
It definitely, the world feels alive because like as you mentioned and alluded to it, you're when you're walking through the town, there's all kinds of chatter that's all around you, right? Like, and the people aren't even talking to you. They'll just be like, they'll be talking to their friend or just talking to themselves. But like as you walk by, you just like you hear all these conversations that are going, and it feels. And sometimes it's funny because they actually sometimes comment on you. Like I remember, like when I was in Calm, I think there was a moment where like some girl yelled, "I think that's Cloud." I was like, "Oh my gosh, he's like he's a cutie pie that everyone just loves, and they want to like catch a glimpse of Cloud, right?" So yeah, it is just amazing. And I like I said, I've been sort of going through and trying to do 100%. So the Chadley is back. So Chadley was in the first game. He's the guy that just asks you to gather intel. Only this time it's like it's much more expansive. He's asking you to go all over these like ginormous open worlds. And funny enough, the game actually has Ubisoft towers.
Yeah,
So you
it's funny you
can
mentioned that. Yeah, it totally the Far Cry towers, right? That you have to unlock and then it
Yeah.
opens up. Yeah, you're right. I was gonna call them, I just called them Far Cry, but yeah, that gets also used in Assassin's Creed. And yeah, no hay bales though to jump off of from the top of them, but maybe they'll patch that in the future. But yeah, you're right. I like that though. I don't know, it gives you this weird sort of sense of accomplishment. And I mean, hey, when you're like riding around on a chocobo, I mean, I'm a choco bro, so I mean, I'm always happy to be zipping around the open world. And
Well, yeah, speaking of that, like one of Chadley's missions that he gives you in each of the open worlds is to find that region's chocobo. So you go like the first one is like, of course, you find just like the regular yellow chocobo, and then in the second one you get one that can help you scale mountains. So
Yeah,
there's
when I
like it's
got
like
that
a
one, I
like
was
a
flipping out. I was like, I can just like walk up and down all of these things. This is amazing. But I've always been
yeah
a big
well
Chocobo stan, if you can't tell.
I mean, like, thinking back to I've been playing the Final Fantasy games ever since the NES game, and then obviously the Super Nintendo versions. And I remember originally how hard it was to find the chocobos. You had to find like the chocobo forest, and they weren't that plentiful. Like there was only a few, and you had to like go in there and grab a chocobo. But this game is like great because you can just hit your shoulder button at any time, and like it comes racing behind you. And then the thing I love is like as soon as you jump on the Chocobo, then everyone else in your party also has one too. So if you look back, you'll see like you'll see Aerith and Tifa and
Oh man,
everyone
I
riding
cannot get over
the.
watching Red 13 on a chocobo. I'm always dying. Like I will be sitting there in the most stoic moment, and then I see ride on by on
Yeah.
one, and I just start cracking up. But no, I love it. It's part of the fun and fantasy of the world. But man, that gets me every time. Because at one time, I like no word of a lie, I thought it was an enemy coming up next to me. Because I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, oh man, it's Red on a chocobo. And
It's
it's like, okay. It was
it
great, but no, this game is packed with fantastic
Yeah.
moments just like that. But and you're right, like just in terms of how quickly you can, zip around on one. There's other ways to get around the maps as well too, but I feel like I might get into spoilery territory talking about those things, so won't jump on it yet. But I mean, like, hey, if you got Chocobo as your option, it's the way you've always got to sort of take it. Well, we're talking about just sort of these side content. We talked a lot about the main story, which is fabulous. We're keeping this spoiler free, so we're not going to delve too deeply into it. One thing I will say though is I love the fact that it has taken the older style, some familiar places, some familiar faces, made it all new. It all feels so new and different again, and I just absolutely love that. But back to my other point, just talking about the side content and the mini games, we just recently reviewed Like a Dragon, and I feel like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, with the sheer variety of side missions, is right there with it, and mini games, if not more, because the amount of things that you can do throughout your journey. I was talking about, the Chocobos. I was talking about the card game. There's like 3D arcade beat 'em up you can
Oh,
get to.
the card game is,
So it is.
sorry,
It's funny.
the card game is great. I
With
love it.
Queen's
Queen's
Blood, yeah,
Blood.
and I love how it's like whenever it starts up, it goes, "Let's spill some blood." Like, what a cool tagline! But for those of you
Oh,
who
yeah.
aren't too sure what you're getting into, like, just beware. If you played like Gwent in the Witcher series, like I got hooked on that game. I love Gwent. It was so much fun. Also, Marvel Snap. It's very similar to those games, and
Oh,
you'll be
yeah.
going around, you'll be going into various towns and villages. You'll be like me at first, trying to stay on mission, trying to stay on some side tasks. Then you'll be like, oh, who can I challenge here for Queen's Blood? And it's you just have to build your own deck. You can have multiple sets of deck. The meta and the strategy, like, it's easy to pick up and play, but one of those really hard things to master. I've got some tips, so like hit me up at dapper
Oh,
underscore
yeah.
tux
Oh,
for some
and
tips if you need them. But yeah,
Yeah, and
it's awesome.
there's definitely like a luck element to it, which
Oh
I
yeah.
find,
Yep.
because you can bring in a deck of 15 cards, but you only can have five face up, so you have to play a card, and then you can replace it with another card in your deck. So there's like yeah, there's been a lot like the luck goes both ways, right? You can have bad luck or you can have good luck. So there's some games where it's like. It comes down to the wire, and then I get like one of my strongest cards, and I can play that and like destroy the opponent. And I'm like, yeah, like almost jumping out of my seat. Like, yeah, like it's so. And then there's other times where it's like you're in the same situation, but you get one of your worst cards, and you're like, no, why did I get.
An opponent like 20 to nothing, and then have them turn around, and then have, in the next round do the same thing to you. Like it's wild. And you're right, there is a lot of, is it called, I think it's called RNG, a lot of like sort of luck
Yeah.
associated with that, where it's just like kind of roll of the dice. But like you said, it works both ways. I got trapped in a tournament. I won't say where it happened, but I was in a tournament and I kept doing that, and it was really cool because I was adjusting my strategy on the fly and resorting my deck. And just trying to play with different combinations. I found using a lot of Shinra soldier cards and just trying to sweep through the center of the
Oh, yeah.
like of the play area and just expanding as quickly as you can with lower level cards. If you get the right kind of, get the right cards, that will work. But at the same time, I was playing with a lot against a lot of higher level people, so I was trying to dominate most of the territory, if you will, I could on the cardboard, but at the same time hoping they would make a small mistake, and then as soon as they made that tiny mistake, I would exploit it and kind of move in for the kill. But yeah, it's amazing. There's so much meta to it, if you can't already tell how I'm describing it. And yeah, big chunk of the podcast already has been on this card game. But
the cool thing about the card game too is like every character that you challenge has their own exclusive card, and once you beat them, you can get that card and you can add it to your own deck as well. So that's like, that's the incentive to take on other players. So yeah, it's and the cool thing is like the all of the cards are all of the enemies in the game. Mm-hmm. Right, so you'll get like your like, you know, your Shinra soldier like you mentioned, and you'll get like your fat chocobo and like all everything else in between. You get a Moogle, you get everything, right? So like, you know, for not only is it like a super fun game to play, but it's also like, you know, my son just recently got into Pokemon cards, and like, you know, he loves just kind of looking at his cards, and I do the same thing as well, right? Like sometimes I just call up my deck and just kind of look at all the cool cards I got. I'm like, oh, I got like, you know, I got a summoner, I got like Ifrit, right? I got Titan, I got some cool cards like that. So
speaking of Ifrit though, like, and I think we could pretty much just do a Queen's Blood podcast if we wanted to, but I like, it's one of those things where I think I got to bring us back to some of the gameplay elements, or else, because yeah, I'm going to sit here with you and talk all night about just how good. And I guess it speaks to the quality of the whole game, based on like the game within the game of this card game is so good. All the mini games are fantastic. But you mentioning Ifrit, one of the summons, just made me come back to think about the combat. And what's incredible about the combat, it's so active this time around. So I feel like, you know, it's far more active over anything turn-based you've ever played before. I think Final Fantasy VII Rebirth earns a capital A for action with its style of combat, that's for sure. But it's really cool because you can still on the fly, as you're like hacking at an enemy, go into your menu, have someone else summon something while you're just like literally, you know, pressing square or triangle to bring up, you know, your character specific attack. But back to that Ifrit and summoner point, the new synergy moves and the summons, oh my goodness, the graphics and the cinematic way that the camera pans around as you like jump in to attack. Like I remember DMing you, Paul, just one of the first attacks I experienced that way. I was just like, this just melted my face off. Like, it's like, I just cannot believe the effects and just how cool and over the top it goes. And yeah, I absolutely love it. From the summons, the new synergy system. The synergy system, it's basically two people on your team go into this overpowered attack. I don't think it consumes HP as well, because based on all of these side missions that you do as you build a better rapport with this with various people within your group, you unlock more of these moves and more powerful moves. I think I've got that correct, Next Gen. I don't know if you can shed some light on that, but anyways.
Yeah. You get them through the folio, mm-hmm. like the skill tree, but you get points for the skill tree by doing side missions. So yeah, you're right on that part. You do the side missions, then you get the points, and the skill tree is like massive. Like,
but it's well organized too, and thank goodness you can at any time re-kit, which is great. Like, you don't get caught into that. I hate when other companies do that, or other publishers do that, where it's like, are you sure about using this skill? Because that's where this is sitting forever. Here you could, like, if you basically can sort of sit for a rest, and there's various area, like, you know, they're almost like vending machines in the middle of a level or a dungeon where you just sit down, pick up a few items, and then there's an actual folio sort of little vendor right there that you could just kind of jump into, make some purchases, and then within that you can just, if you wish to, totally re-kit and redo your build to dynamically kind of fit whatever combat scenario that you're in. Which, man, like, when you talk about a better level of combat that allows players to have more agency, you know, the developers, Square Enix, done a fantastic job with Rebirth.
Well, you like the best part I like about the folio is that you can actually unlock attacks. Like, you can get like a Buster Sword attack from Cloud that has elemental infusion in it. So you can do like a fire strike, you can do a lightning strike, you can do a wind. So the cool thing is I've unlocked a bunch for each of my characters now, and they have three or four different elemental attacks that they can do, and it doesn't cost any MP. Like it literally, you just build up your bar from your ATB bar, and then you can start unleashing some of these moves. And I'm like, this is great. Like I can literally like I can exploit an enemy's weakness with my sword that can channel like four or five different elemental properties, right? Whatever one I need at the time, I just pull it out and bam, I'm doing I'm doing double damage. And then also too, like this also has the pressuring system, right?
Oh,
Where
I love
you
that.
can
And
like
it
it.
really suits my personal play style, where it's just like, I'm just gonna unleash on this creature or this person, and just, yeah, the pressure system, it really
Yeah.
fits the way with my style of play. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Like you can, if you exploit their weakness, then you can get them in a pressured state, which makes them more vulnerable to your attacks, and then it also builds up their stagger meter even more, right? So yeah. So once they're pressured for a little while, like suddenly they get into a staggered mode, and that's when you can like totally unleash chaos. And the thing that I like too is that you. Like you mentioned with Ifrit and in the summons, but like not only is it really cool when you first summon the entity down, whether it's like Shiva or Titan or whatnot, but when they leave, like before they leave, they always do like their biggest attack, right? So there's like a summon bar, and then it like slowly loses its energy, and once that bar finishes, that's when they unleash this like ginormous like health shredding attack. And it's like, oh man, like those attacks just look so
Yeah,
good.
it looks incredible. You're right. No, that's one of the best things that I love, especially with the combat, is like everything looks good, but then you get into the combat, it just takes things to a whole other level, where just like, depending on the elemental, things are on fire, things are freezing, there's all sorts of effects flying everywhere. It's just like, oh man, sign me up. Really cool, dazzling effects to it, that's for sure.
Just gonna say like this is you've been sort of like saying it or hinting at it throughout the whole review, but this is like one of those rare games, right? Like this is like almost just like how Final Fantasy VII is like on the PlayStation is like still talked about decades later. Like this game is like that quality, I think,
Yeah,
right? Like
oh, most definitely.
this is definitely. Anyone who thought Remake was awesome, if you thought that was like, as good as Final Fantasy games can get, like you haven't seen anything yet. Like
Totally.
this game blows Remake out of the
I
water, which is
exactly. I said that on DapperTux.com. My review will be live once this podcast is live and all the embargoes will be lifted and so on and so forth. But you can read it there. But what I said was, I think by any metric I could come up with, Rebirth was just in every single way like a doubling or tripling down on certain things that came from Remake. Like, just in every way that you can possibly measure, there's like a doubling effect happening here, or even a tripling effect in terms of the scale, the combat, even down to the way that the characters move throughout the open world. Like, you can now vault over objects. You can hold down like R2 and like just like kind of fearlessly move through a space and not get caught on things. Like, it's just those it's tiny little changes like that, and then huge revamps to the combat and the magic systems and the summons, and adding in something like synergy is just like, man, it's absolutely fantastic. And I'm hooked. From that to, oh, and of course, even the like the side quests and the mini games I mentioned before, it's just double, triple, what it was
Oh
before.
yeah, Chocobo Racing, piano.
Oh, that
There's
whole, yeah.
everything in this game. It's like you're saying with like, it's similar to Like a Dragon. The one thing that I definitely want to say, if there's any publishers or developers that happen to listen to this podcast, like focus on these mini games. Like I'm telling you that Like a Dragon is like, that is like definitely one of the best games of the year for sure. That's definitely like, it's going to be my top five of the year. I can already foresee
Yep.
that. And I think like a big part of that is the mini games. I just absolutely love them in that game. And this is the same thing, man. Like I've been playing like Queen's Blood. We talked about this. I've been playing this forever. There's one called Moogle Mischief. I won't get into it too much, but like the Moogles like do little funny pranks on you, and you have to help them out in various ways. The piano, like we've already seen, like in the demo, people were like uploading them playing their own songs and like getting like S rank and all this stuff.
Yeah,
Like,
and
oh my
if you've
gosh.
played Last of Us Part 2 remastered, they have the guitar sort of session in there, the guitar mode in there, and it's the same idea with the piano. It's just like a full instrument that you can just sit, play. If you have a music sheet and you can translate that to like what is on the screen, it will work. But yeah, having so many of these like deep mechanics and extra systems in there, it just brings the world to life in just such an impeccable manner. And you could just put hundreds of hours into this game if you wanted to, because there's just so much to do. And oh, it's just such a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
In terms of things that we've looked at, just kind of scanning through again, Next Gen and I—we've been, I think we put in quite a few nights, sleepless nights almost. We've been up to 3 a.m. So you're getting the version of my rough notes off on the one side, part of my more polished written review about to go up on DapperTux.com. So we're just kind of, scanning through, giving you like our hot, like I don't want to call them hot takes, but our fresh off the press sort of takes coming at you. So we talked about the side content. Oh, Queen's Blood, I love it. I hope they make that like a side game. I'd buy it.
Too. They gotta make this like an actual physical game that you can
Oh
buy.
yeah, like they did that with Gwent, right? Where it was like an iOS
Yeah.
game. They could totally do that with Queen's Blood. Actually, back to that card game idea. I think it was with Final Fantasy VIII. They actually sold the cards like they would physical Pokemon cards, and I have a set of them. I gotta find them somewhere, but I hope they do the same thing with Queen's Blood and
Oh yeah.
Rebirth, 'cause yeah, I would totally buy those. And
Yeah, if they release this as a board game, like I'm buying
yeah.
it.
Oh, and even the board game, the music, the board game. Oh, and even with Queen's Blood, you have your opponent talking smack to you the whole time. That was one thing with
Yeah.
Gwent. Like, it was the same song, and it was just like a quiet, more solitary experience, like inside of The Witcher 3. But here, it's more lively. You can hear what's, you can hear your opponent's taunts. It's, yeah, so much fun. Oh, and I have to bring this up now. The music inside of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the audio design, it's in a league of its own. It's
Dude, the OST, like the soundtrack, the
it's 400 recorded tracks with multiple
yeah,
versions
seven
of each
CDs.
character's theme. Like, it's and what I think is one of the most compelling parts about it for me is that, well, number one, it takes me back to a time and a place when I hear some of these riffs and melodies, but at the same time, like, just oh, it the music itself can tell its own story, and it does. And just in every single
Yeah,
way they
well,
can just put more into this game, they have. Like, they could have just like gently reworked some of these arrangements, put them in, everyone would have been happy. No. They have new tracks that work. They've got the older tracks that have been redone as well too. It's just phenomenal. And the melodies, like when you are in the open world and you hear a melody and it's a little bit calm as you're exploring, if you're confronted by an enemy, the way that that changes so seamlessly, and then after the confrontation's finished, it just swells and comes back down and takes you right back into that other melody. It's just like it's
yeah,
phenomenal.
there's actually like I actually found that there's a lot of soundtracks in the game that I found like generally surprising. Like surprising in such a good way because like I'm so used to the classic Final Fantasy soundtracks, which are like I'm talking about like the like PS1 like Super NES era. Like those ones had like they really had like this like fantasy like overtone to them. But this game has like literally everything. There's like guitar riffs and there's like mod like it's there's a lot of like really modern and contemporary tracks that are completely new. And I'm listening, I'm like, this does not sound like a Final Fantasy game, but this sounds like even cooler.
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
I would never expect music this good to be like or this different, I should
Well,
say.
and just sort of like coming back to your point of the differences, even when you are going from village to village, region to region, everything's so different from the people and the fashion, the style of the buildings, to the floral and fauna. Like, you don't feel like you're in just the same spot and it's just a repeated texture. everything. And I think even the music, my point is coming back to the music, is even the music conveys this, where if you're more of in like an industrial setting, if you're more of like in a desert or, you know, the open grasslands and it's more folksy, it sounds like that. Even like Tifa's theme was reworked when she was wearing the cowboy outfit Calm. They even reworked that. Well, she's wearing a single outfit just to have this like sort of more cowboy sort of folksy sounding song to match her theme. I was just like who goes to those lengths? Clearly Square did. And like, that's why, I don't know, this game to me is just such a masterpiece from graphics, gameplay, everything else. But yeah, I think we've continued to gush. I think we've hit on all the main points. Was there any other pros that you wanted to bring up next gen before we talk about the cons? And I'm laughing because there's very few. But
are there?
I
cons?
Know, right? Like I.
But but what I there is one thing that I wanted to just like the last point on things that I liked about the game that I want to touch upon is that this game absolutely is hilarious in some ways. There's like funny scenes in this game, and they're new. Like a lot of it is completely brand new, and the tone of this game is so different from the last one, because the last one was like very serious and very intense with all the shenanigans that were going on in Midgar, right? Mm-hmm. But this one, they have honestly, there's some segments in this game that are as funny as Like a Dragon, right? Like, you know the quirky funny things you do in Like a Dragon.
Some of Barrett's one-liners as he's fighting, have you hit yet where he does the victory thing and his gruff like duh, 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 duh. Yeah. Oh, I was dying. I was like, that is hilarious.
Well, the one thing that is like really, really awesome, and this is why, like, for sure everyone that's listening, like, you got to do 100% of all the side content, but all of the
basically 250 hours to spare, but no big deal.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of like open world areas. So the first one is like grasslands, the second one is Junon, and there and so on and so on. Each one of these like big open worlds has this there's like a mission that's called a phenomenon mission. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's literally like a multi-mission narrative that you go through. So the first one, I think there was like five different sequences of this narrative, and these are 100% comedy. Like it is, they literally like threw in multiple lengthy comedy segments that are completely brand new, and they like, I'm laughing so hard. This game is just great. Like I love it. It's everything I've ever wanted in a Final Fantasy game, and like, you know, leagues and leagues above that. So yeah, definitely if you're looking for Final Fantasy to kind of go back to its like quirkier roots, this is they fully embrace that with this game. Yeah,
absolutely. And even it just has that magic, almost like a Disney theme park has, as you're going to the different sections of said theme park. Like what they are trying to convey and how you should feel in a certain spot with the way things look, the way things sound, it's just like, yeah, I just totally felt like I was on an adventure like that. And you feel like through every, even if you have a loose understanding of what is going to happen, there's still some like remixes, and I'm not going to get into the spoilery things, but yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff that even if you're like a hardcore Final Fantasy fan, you're just going to be like, oh, they took it in that direction. Oh, they did that. Like it. And yeah, you're going to really enjoy it. But I think, yeah, we've sort of covered things off in terms of all the pros. I think it just comes down to a point of, I think we're in agreement here. Like, this is a masterpiece. You have to play this. If you own a PS5, get this game. If you don't own a PS5, get a PS5 and then get this game. Like, it's just, it's clearly just going to be, likely top three, if not the game of the year for 2024. And beyond. Like, it's just an instant classic in my opinion at this point. In terms of the cons, I really can't say too much. I haven't hit any too many bugs and glitches. I would have to say in almost a 40-hour experience, I had one hard crash, but I know patches are also on the way to even improve these fantastic visuals. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else you can really touch on next gen in terms of cons. In terms of the rebirth experience so far. Like we really have to scrape the bottom of the barrel.
I have to really dig. I think the only con that I could even think of, and it's not like it's just a totally like I'm being like totally nitpicky here, is that like as you mentioned that you can now like vault over things and you can climb. I found that like every now and again it was kind of like a bit finicky. There was a rock that looks like I can climb it, and it looks like similar to other rocks that I've climbed, but this one like I can't. So there.
I ran into like, that in a certain caved area. I won't go into depth as like what was going on in that sequence, but yeah, it was just like I got lost for a minute too because I was just like, can I climb that? Or and then when I was climbing a certain thing, I was just moving so slowly, and I don't know. It again though, like I said, really in 40 hours. It's it's splitting hairs at this point, but I agree with you. I think that is a fair sort, just in terms of the movement, something that
yeah,
could be fixed,
it could be a little bit smoother for sure. But the one thing that I will say that we didn't actually touch upon, like when it comes to movement, is the fast travel in this game is like basically as good as Spider-Man, right? Where it's like it's almost instantaneous. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I love is like we mentioned there's the like the Far Cry towers, and you can basically like any point of interest that you come across now becomes a fast travel point, and it's like it's super 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 smooth and fast to get around this world, which is another good thing about it.
Yeah, no spoilers, there are some cool ways besides flat fast travel, walking, and our feathered friends to get around, but you'll have to I would say I don't want to spoil anything. I even went into this, I think I'm enjoying this game so much is because at a certain point, I think it was at the last state of play there, the last Final Fantasy state of play, I think I said it on the podcast too, I was like, okay, I'm out, I know I'm gonna play this game, I don't know when I'm gonna play it. But luckily we got that, this early access to the game, and I went in as fresh as possible, knowing as little as possible outside of, the huge experience I had of, playing Final Fantasy back in the day or Final Fantasy VII back in the day. But man, that just adds to the magic because a lot of the things that you see, I understand publishers, they need to get people hyped and get people excited for the game by showing things that are coming. But man, when you just go in the way that I went in with, almost like an embargo on sort of preview content, I was just like, okay, I think the surprises hit even better. But at this point, next gen, I think we're ready to give this a preliminary score. This is a score in progress. Next gen, where are you landing on Final Fantasy Rebirth? I think I could Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I think I could probably guess your score at this point, but take it away.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I still have a little bit of the story left to do. So, I reserve the right to make adjustments. But the thing is, like, I feel like, as you mentioned at the beginning, 40 hours plus we put into this game, I can't, like, first of all, even if I have a little bit of story content left, I can't see it being any less epic than what I've already seen. So
and it just keeps getting better and better. So like that's it would be one of the most insane falls from grace. And like even as I'm sitting here recording this, I'm enjoying my time immensely chatting with you, sharing time with the audience. But I want to wrap up our podcast, save it, get back into that world because it's just like it's just so addictive. Whether it's like I want to continue the story, do the side quest, of course, play more Queen's Blood. Like it's just
sure. So based on like I've played certainly enough to like know this game in and out, and like you mentioned, it is preliminary. So I'll wait. Probably got another day or two before I finish the game 100%. So things might change, but if you ask me like right now after 40 plus hours of this game what I would give it, it's for sure a 10. Mm-hmm. Like it is like it's a 10, and it's like a solid strong 10. Like I don't even have to like think, is that too high, right? Sometimes if I want to give a game a 10, I'm like, I really reconsider, like, is it really a 10? Mm-hmm. But no, like, there's no thinking. Like, it's an auto 10.
This is a like same for me. It's a 10 out of 10. This is a masterpiece. Like when you're talking about a game in terms of everything it's done here.
Like it's the best game on PS5. Like let's maybe the only game that rivals this, at least in my opinion, is maybe Elden Ring.
I'm enjoying this way more than Elden Ring. Like I won't get into the debate of that, but I'm just having way more of a fun time, way more, well, deep, obviously connecting to characters. Like it's a lot easier in this world than it is, you know, in that one. I'm totally, totally into Rebirth for sure. And I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah. Definitely top three games. Love God of War as well. But again, like the scale and scope just does not compare to something like Rebirth, but man, what an embarrassment of riches to sit atop all these incredible AAA titles and finally be able to declare like this is it, because it's just like one of the most fantastic, you know, things I've experienced, whether it be movies, whether it be a TV show, like just the way the story is being told, how it looks, phenomenal. Yeah, totally. I'm in the same boat.
Oh, for sure.
10 out of 10 as well, too.
The crown jewel.
Yeah, the crown jewel, 10 out of 10.
Of Square Enix,
yeah.
And PS5.
10 out of 10, I'm going to recommend again and again that as soon as you can play this game, you know, hop on. And let us know what you think as well, too. Love to hear it. But I think at this point, that's game over for this episode. I'm Dapper Tux along with Next Gen Player. Please be sure to follow us at Down to Play Cast, our official podcast Twitter account. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Dapper_Tux and at Next Gen Player. For more gaming news, check out our websites dappertux.com and nextgenplayer.com. We are always down to play.